straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first on Second Thought.
We're back on Second Thought, episode 245. Brought to you by Hook'em.com and Bud Light. Cedric Golden back in the saddle with the Duck. Kirk Bowles. Happy New Year, Duck. We're running a little late on the old pod. Oh, man, am I glad to be back.
Man, happy New Year to you. We survived the holidays. I trust Santa was good to you.
Santa was great. Had a smorgasbord of gifts under my tree. Spent time with the family and Tyler. Mom's doing great. And yeah, it was a wonderful Christmas.
Did you get some good pajamas, or what was your best gift? What did Bev get you?
I got cash, which is always great. Always great. My mom dropped cash on me, which I didn't expect. Gift cards from the wife. It was just really wonderful. What did you score?
Well, I got some orange chocolate. You know, that's my favorite. You know, I'm a chocoholic. You know that. And my wife got me a new printer. I haven't hooked it up yet.
Look at that. Look at that. I'll take the old one. I need it.
Exactly. Got some slippers since I'm a grandpa.
Man.
So I'm a one-time grandpa, fixing to be two this month. So
that is wonderful.
Yeah.
Shout out to Miss Lindsay and John Tyler upon the impending arrival.
Number two.
Newest heir. To the Bowles estate, down there in the pecking order, but there's going to be enough to go around for everybody in about 30 years when you die.
Oh, from your voice to God's ears. Okay.
Well, man, let's get to the really real. That was the best championship game ever. We'll get to the year that was in our next segment, but we got to talk about Alabama, Georgia. And how it affects us locally. The Bulldogs, just like I predicted at the beginning of the season, won the national championship, beat the Bama Crimson Tide 33-18. And Duck, the whole time I was watching it, I'm wondering, man, Texas is not anywhere near this level. How long will it take Steve Sarkisian to even get to a college playoff, let alone win a national championship in Austin?
Well, let me put it this way. Those were the two best defenses in all the land. Can we agree on that?
I'm no lies detected. No lies detected.
I mean, and boy, you talk about penetration by the defensive fronts and disruption, and those quarterbacks were frequently running for their lives and getting knocked down. I don't know if Bryce Young has ever been knocked down that many times in a game, maybe several games put together, but yeah, that defensive front of Georgia, you know, Jordan Davis and, you know, Kobe Dean at linebacker, and then Ringo on the interception. I mean,
that was beautiful.
Great.
How appropriate to end a college football championship game with a game with a game clinching pick six.
Yeah,
it was wonderful. And to watch Stetson Bennett with the tears flowing, man, that's what it's all about. I know money has a lot to do with college football now, but when you see the raw emotion on that bench, 41 years in the making, the Georgia Bulldogs in the winner's circle. If you didn't feel that, Duck, then you must be dead inside.
Yeah, it was emotional. And I tell you what, coming off the NFL games the day before the finale, I thought was about as good as NFL Sunday as I can remember. So much on the line, so much meaning, so much emotion. You know, that Vegas Charger game, you know, or tie affects, you know, three teams. I mean, it was amazing. You know, as far as the championship game, I didn't think it was the most riveting game ever. It wasn't the Rose Bowl. It wasn't Texas USC. It wasn't some of those Alabama Clemson classics, but it had so much built-in storylines like Stetson Bennett, the walk-on, the best defense. Is it going to be wasted? Kirby 0-4, against Nick, 41 years between titles. There was just so many great, riveting stories. And you could see the emotion in Kirby running up and down the sideline.
I loved it, man. I just absolutely loved that. You know what I thought about the whole duck? What? Isn't there a guy chasing him that's making sure he doesn't run out of slack? There's a guy right behind him, right?
Yeah, they never saw him.
I never saw him.
Hey, I hope his conditioning. Kirby made a lot to do about conditioning.
What about Kirby jumping up 5 foot high on the pick six?
And that was pretty strong vertical, I'm telling you. So, and you know what's funny? You're talking about Texas and how far away they are. You know, I mentioned the defenses, and you don't build defenses like that overnight. You and I both know that. You better have the culture. You better have recruiting classes stacked up. And you better have development. And so you look at the all Big 12 team said, and I wrote about this in Wednesday's paper, Texas had zero players taken on the first team all Big 12 or the second team.
Unacceptable.
Zero. And you look at, and I looked it up, Georgia had 6 and Alabama 5 on their first two all SEC teams. And it was total 23 picks. So 11 of the 23 came from Georgia and Alabama. That's dominance.
How many games did Bijan Robinson miss? One or two?
Wasn't it 2.5? I think.
I want to say that. Yeah, and I think if he had played one more game, he would have found a way onto that team.
Yeah, but we're talking about defense only, you know, because.
You're talking about defense.
Just talking about defense.
Just defense. Oh yeah.
Well, Bijan made it. Xavier Worthy made it, but.
Yeah. Well, we know Texas didn't have a defensive guy on that team. There's no way.
Defense is just so far away from that level. And then you look at quarterback. Oh, yeah, Alabama had the Heisman Trophy winners coming back next year as a junior. And then
Picking them right now to win it all next year.
Oh, they'll be number one. They got the best offensive player in Bryce Young, the best defensive player in Will Anderson, the linebacker, who's just a sophomore.
He was all over the place. Couldn't block him.
They couldn't.
At one point, I kept going, is he jumping off sides? And one time, I just kind of rewound it just to see. No, he just beat his guy every time.
Yeah. And Georgia to overcome even that fumble, which I thought was a good call, didn't you?
Yeah. At first, I thought very similar to the Bryce Young one, but that ball was coming out when Stetson was trying to throw it. It was a very good call. I think the refs did an okay job. They didn't figure into the decision. I think they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And Georgia didn't use Bowers, the tight end, as much as I thought they would.
Not till the end, to the game, to the touchdown to put him up. Yeah, that was unusual because I followed them all year, and he's been their number one option in the receiving game.
He's so good. He just, you know, he's preseason All-American for sure. And this was as a true freshman.
Do you think Sarkisian's the guy? I mean, after watching this is an offensive coach, and we know that defense can be a difference maker. If last night wasn't proof, then you weren't watching. The defense has dominated that game. Is Sarkisian capable of putting together a defense? And to that end, is the little general, Gary Patterson, who just keeps showing up in Austin, Duck, is he coming? And if he is, how long would he stay? I would say not long.
I wouldn't think long. I think he's got a lot of football left in his tank. So
a lot of head coaching football.
A lot of head coaching football. And, you know, who knows? He's a different cat, as you and I both know. So, you know, reached out to him on Twitter and DM him, but he's mums the words. So
he can DM you like 20 minutes after a game because of a tweet. Come on, little general. Come on,
little general. I did say he's a different cat. He is a different cat.
But sometimes when they're not talking, it speaks volumes.
But here's the thing. You mentioned the defenses being dominant, and Kirby and Nick are defensive guys. But Dabo's an offensive guy, you know. He played wide receiver. He was a wide receiver coach at Clemson before he got promoted. And you look at Michigan, the other team in the Final Four, Harbaugh's an offensive guy. Can't always tell it by his teams, especially his quarterbacks. But I don't know. I don't know if there's a real winning formula that, you know, you got to have defense, you got to have offense. Because remember, some of those Alabama-Clemson games were goodness, what, 38, 37, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. scores like that. So, and this wasn't even Nick Saban's best team. No, I thought it may have been his worst team, you know, close, halfway yeah. through the year. And then he may have done his best coaching job in getting them back, because to lose 10 players, 10 to the in the NFL draft, six of them in the first round, and to come back and you're leading in the fourth quarter of the national championship game. I mean,
he's the greatest coach in any sport ever.
I agree. Totally.
He's the greatest. And he'll get number eight. He'll get number eight.
Yeah,
eventually, probably next year. I don't know if you're watching this part, Doug, but when they show the coaches meeting at midfield, yeah. you could hear the conversation.
Right.
Nick Saban goes, "Man, your guys kicked our ass in the fourth quarter. Congratulations." And Kirby goes, "How's Jameson Williams doing?"
Yeah.
And Nick goes, "I think it's an ACL." And Kirby goes, "Well, I'm praying for him." Yeah. That's class. That is class personified. Those guys know each other well. It wasn't a Belichick deal where he just hates it when his assistants beat him. Nick Saban was pure class. He made sure that his players Anderson and Bryce Young got their flowers at post game. He made them sit back down and he goes, "I want to acknowledge these two, because they did great this year, and we didn't get it done, but they were wonderful, and I'm proud of them." So even in defeat, Nick Saban is still head over heels the best coach, the best recruiter, and you might not like him, but damn it, you're gonna respect him because those numbers don't lie.
Wait a minute. Are you going to say he's human now, too?
No, I'm not going that far. I won't go that far because I don't know that he's from this planet. I don't know.
But everything you just said the last 3 minutes was dead on, and I agree with it. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, is Nick a nice guy now? I mean,
no.
Didn't that look real, his genuine happiness for Kirby?
It did. He's not that good an actor. I saw The Blind Side. He's not a good actor. He's being real in his old age.
He's 70. You know, who knows? I mean, I know
from very personal experience that people that turn 70 don't mellow. That's all I'm going to say on that subject.
Enough said.
And I'm not talking about my parents.
enough said on that. But it was a great game, and it was, both these teams might be back. I don't know who the quarterback at Georgia is going to be, but you know, they'll have a great defense as they always do. So it wouldn't shock me if we're seeing these two teams back next year. But that said, even though the games in the semifinals were blowouts, I still am glad we got a Cincinnati, a group of five team in. I was glad to see Michigan, some new blood getting in there. And I think that helped college football, even though I'm still worried they're still haggling over that 12-team playoff. And
come on, Bill Hancock, you're up there handing out hardware when you need to be in a dark room somewhere, at least getting to eight teams. I don't know about 12, but give us eight, Bill. Come on, Bill.
It's SEC jealousy. It's just that people are thinking, no, if we go to 12, they're going to be eight SEC teams. It's like,
I don't care. I don't care.
But they
do.
They do.
Get to eight. Four work, but get to eight.
I want eight too, but I wonder if they're thinking of 12. Oh, my God, it's just going to be the SEC show. But it already is. We just saw an all-SEC final. Second time we've seen that in 15 years.
And if you want them out of the championship round, beat them. Whoop them. You have a chance. Get after them.
And
they play FBS teams in non-conference. Take a shot. Take your best shot. Texas Longhorns, you have a chance next season to directly impact the CFP. All you got to do is beat Alabama.
Do they have a chance? What's the line on that? I wonder.
I don't see that line.
Alabama.
I don't see that line.
14.
That might be like the bathroom line at Buc-ee's. That's going to be out the door. I don't want to see that line.
Oh, Buc-ee's. I mean, are you a Buc-ee's advocate now? That was one of your SETI's thing. You finally graced Buc-ee's doors.
Here's the thing, Doug. This COVID thing, man, and we're about to talk about that. I don't like crowds anymore. I used to love crowds, and now I try to avoid them. If I'm working, like I went to the Longhorns Oklahoma game on Tuesday night, but I don't. I try to avoid crowds, but that was an amazing experience. Cleanest bathrooms I've ever been to. And I had maid service here at my house. They don't do that good a job. They do a good job, but man, I was like, I could take a nap on this bathroom floor. This is so clean.
Plus, there are like 3,000 gas pumps, so you can spread out. The Buc-ee's itself is about 3 football fields long. So,
oh my God. You know, and each urinal had a hand sanitizer next to it, each one.
Then there's a guy in there washes your hands for you, right? And
And I took a picture with Buc-ee, and
did you get some candy? They got the best candy in the world.
No. I just got a chopped beef sandwich and
your chopped beef. I'm not a big chop. You know, we're barbecue aficionados.
But you don't like chopped beef.
Yeah, I do.
But not Buc-ee's chopped beef.
Yeah,
I loved it. It was fine. It's gas station chopped beef, Doug. So for what you're getting, it was great. And then I went to the one in Temple, me and Bev, and had a blast. And people, those cash registers, they get you out of there pretty quick. I was only in line for about 5 minutes before I took a photo with the beaver. You know, one of my Facebook followers goes, which one is on the left and which one's on the right? And I was like, that's not funny. That's not funny at all. So, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. And I'll be back. And maybe this year. We'll see.
Speaking of barbecue, we'd be remiss if we didn't express condolences to the John Miller family.
Man, that hurt, Duck. That hurt.
Barbecue legend, you know, grandson Louis Miller's, you know, and Taylor. And it just, you know, he was just a legend in the barbecue world, and you know, had his share of troubles and passed on in 2021, and he will be missed. And
how many times did we go to one of his trucks and he'd see us and he'd grab us and he'd force us to the front of the line, give us barbecue, we pay for it, and then he'd cuss us out because he hadn't seen us in a year. I mean, if ever there was a term called tough love, he exhibited it when it came to us.
He gave us grief. There was only one of him, and he's gonna miss him. He will be missed.
Yes, he will. Well, man, let's we've talked about the Longhorns, we've talked about the the year that was. Let's start with high school football, because right before I went on vacation, I went to the state championship game, and the LBJ Jaguars finished as a runner up. Great season, but the Westlake Chaparrals, they sent Todd Dodge off into retirement with a 7th state championship and a 3rd straight, an unprecedented 3-peat in Class 6A. How great was that? And what will you remember most about your dealings with Todd Dodge, who, in my opinion, is the greatest head coach ever in high school football?
Well, I mean, you know, he's kind of the modern day Gordon Wood.
He is. He's right there.
High school football at Brownwood forever. And Todd Dodge was just a great offensive mind, you know, covered him as a quarterback at Texas back when they still had some growing pains and couldn't always get out of their own way. But, you know, was a great player in high school himself at Port Arthur Jefferson. And he and Brent Duhon both came to Texas and rewrote a lot of the record books. And just a real classy guy. And we kind of always thought, you know, he married Abby Neptune's daughter, and we always kind of thought he might end up back at Westlake, as he did. And it's kind of sad to see an era in, because there was just some dominant football year in, year out. Once he got his program up and running there. And Tony Salazar, as the new head coach, a former defensive czar, was a huge linchpin in that dynasty run they've had. I expect him to do very well and kind of pick up where Todd Dodge left off.
I really like Tony. I got to talk to him right before their semifinal game. And I mean, right after their semifinal game, at DKR, and they, you know, that's the one that Dabo Swinney was there,
right,
to see Kay Klubnik. And Salazar is going to be fine.
He's such a beloved guy.
They love him already. The kids went to bat for him like they had to. It was a no-brainer. I'm sure he'll keep most of that offensive assistant staff intact, because why try to fix something that's not broken? And that defense, man, Ethan Burke, wow, coming to Texas, disruptive defender. They're going to be just fine, and I can't wait to see what happens. Shout out to LBJ. I mean, they stubbed their toe in the championship game, 4 fumbles in the first quarter. That's but Jamal tough. Fenner did one hell of a job.
He really
getting did. That team from a state semifinal in 2020 to the state championship game in 2021, sending kids to D1 programs, doing it the right way. And AISD, they better pay him. He's woefully underpaid, and the facilities suck at LBJ. They've got to do better. When you got a big-time coach, Duck, you got to surround him with big-time resources to keep the train moving.
Yeah. Well, there's so many obstacles when you're an inner-city program in this day and age, when, you know, the suburban schools, you know, just seem to be dominating the landscape. And so, yeah, hats off to him. And to get so close these last 2 years, it kind of breaks you a little bit. But, again, just like we said, it took Todd Dodge a while to build that culture back up at Westlake. And he's got it going now at LBJ. And like you say, with a little help, maybe they'll get over the hump as well.
Well, Duck, another part of the year was the July 1st name, image, and likeness provisions went into effect for college
athletes. Yeah, whatever happened to that? Did that have any effect? I haven't heard any more about it. So
there's too many people cashing in. I just hear the sound. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Not us.
I don't know I love that it happened, but this transfer portal, I think, just bursting at the seams now, because I think a lot of these kids are entering the portal, making sure that they haven't minimized themselves cash wise, because they can look in that portal and go, hey, here I am. How much you got? So but
don't you think that's one of the unforeseen negatives? Unforeseen consequences of this thing. The grass is always greener, and not everybody's Quinn Ewers can go get $1 million by going to Ohio State, and who knows what he's going to get here at Texas. I mean, you know, and then you hear A&M with the number one ranked recruiting class and talk about $30 million. You can't call it a slush fund anymore.
And they had the nerve to laugh at Texas paying 50 G's per offensive lineman. That is.
I'm not even sure that's enough.
If that's cookie jar money compared to what the Aggies are doing.
Exactly. And because it's all above board, but I don't know what's the long term effect of that, Sid? Does it concern you? I know we're both happy for the players that they're getting their piece of the pie, but how big a concern do you have moving forward?
I think it's a big concern, because I think the haves can still buy players and offer even more money. A lot of them were cheating to begin with, and now they can come across the front of the table, except underneath that they can be above the table and go, okay, here's $2 million. You're the best quarterback in America. Then you're going to come play for us, unless you don't want $2 million.
Yeah.
It's going to become the pros, Duck. It's going to become the pros.
It already is.
But maybe you'll have more kids staying for 4 years because the money's good.
That's true. Well, we did our 3-part series on name, image, and likeness this past June and July, and that could be a good positive that comes out of this. More program guys stick around a little longer.
How are you going to feel, though, when we're walking into the games and we're going to see in like 5 years, we'll see limousines pulling up and football players getting out of the limos to go get dressed because they can afford it. I mean, when does it stop?
I'm going to have to get a bigger limo to keep up with my team. I hadn't thought about that. That's going to bust my budget. So.
Oh, my God.
But you know, it's going to – you know, the fans are always the one that they get disillusioned. People like us in the business, we knew what was going on, what it was like, and – yeah, you can't write about it because you can't always prove it because they cover the tracks so much. But I don't know. I think the old school, and probably, you know, people my age and even 50 and older, probably lamenting the loss of amateur athletics. It had been that for quite some while, as you and I both know. But I think it will lose something when it's so clearly professional football, when they are going to get paid. And now you're going to have these some star players with IRS problems, and oh, he didn't pay his income tax, and they thought, well, I thought this autograph guy that paid me $100,000 was going to pay the income tax.
No, you didn't.
That was a contract. You know, there's going to be a lot of stuff like that that away from the game that will be unsavory, I think.
And, you know, kudos to Chris Del Conte over at Texas. They put together some programs that are helping guys and girls who are going to be having these issues, how to deal with it. They're bringing in tax pros and they're bringing in accountants. They're going to need that, Doc. They're going to need it because the money's not going away. It's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
It is. And we're going to see bidding wars, and we already are. You know, Caleb Williams from Oklahoma, what was it? I think it may have been Eastern Michigan offered him $1 million to go play with him. Why not? If you got one big booster at Eastern Michigan, why not, you know, see if you can, turn somebody's head.
The biggest question is, if he said no to Eastern Michigan, what are they going to pay him? What's he going to command at a bigger Power Five school?
Is he at USC yet? I know
that's the word, but as of this taping, nothing official.
Well, Jackson Dart's transferring and Keaton Slovis transferred to Pitt, I guess it was. So just a matter of time. But program sales would be great because you need a program to tell who the players are. So and Texas Sarkisian is taking full advantage of it, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Now, we look at March and the Baylor basketball team wins a national championship. Baylor, the Big 12 is going to be changing its face in a couple of years. We know that. OU and Texas going to the SEC. Baylor has laid down the gauntlet. They're grabbing for the gold ball, and Baylor is saying Waco is the new epicenter of the Big 12. Mm-hmm. A football Sugar Bowl title that followed a basketball title, and Kim Mulkey left. Is the grass ever going to be greener in Waco than it is right now?
Now, it's pretty lush grass right there right now, and Mac Rhodes deserves a lot of credit.
Yes, sir, he does.
For hiring Matt Rhule and then Dave Aranda on top of that. And I voted for Dave Aranda for National Coach of the Year for, you know, going from 2-7 to 12-2. First time they win 12 games, win the Sugar Bowl, beat Ole Miss. And I don't know.
And never raising his voice the whole time.
Yeah, we talk about just calm and steady, you know.
Friend of the podcast.
Emotional. So, sitting pretty for Baylor right now. So, and hey, Texas Tech, you know, they won their bowl game, beat the Pirate, and, Cincinnati.
Pirate didn't show up for that one, did he?
He really didn't, you know. And Cincinnati, you know, they're coming to the Big 12 and BYU, and Cincinnati made the CFP. So, you know, you could argue, you know, Big 12 might come out of this okay. It won't make the same TV money, obviously. And then look at basketball now. You mentioned Baylor won it all last year. They're number one this year. And
rolling.
Got that great transfer from Arizona and, you know, just great defensive team and rebounding. And it's good to be a Bear right now.
But you see that Mac Rhodes hires two good coaches in a row, Matt Rhule, Dave Aranda. Charlie Strong didn't work out for Texas. And now we get Tom Herman and Steve Sarkisian. I'm not saying Tom Herman was a bad hire because the numbers, Duck, were pretty decent.
Yeah.
But it's possible that it's been two bad hires out of three for the Bevos here in the last 6 years.
Yeah, it is. They've got their work cut out for them. And even Oklahoma, maybe Oklahoma takes a step back now that Lincoln Riley's gone and Caleb Williams is probably leaving. Brent Venables, first-time head coach, you don't know. There may be some growing pains in that. And if you don't have your star quarterback, maybe the whole Big 12 playing field got leveled a little bit for this next year and maybe the year after that. Who knows? But because Oklahoma State came on, you know, almost won the Big 12, you know, beat Notre Dame in the bowl game. You know, you got a couple of top 10 teams in Baylor and Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, with the youngster coaching, Bob Stoops, you know, they win again. So,
boy, he was having fun.
Well, he was, wasn't he?
He was having a blast.
I was curious how many bowl games you watched. I didn't watch all that many, but I love the Rose Bowl. That Ohio State-Utah game was awesome. And then
I watched that
Purdue-Tennessee, the Music City Bowl was riveting as well. Yeah, that's where Tennessee scored, and they didn't give him the touchdown and said the guy was down, even though it looked like a bad call. So
when he reached out across the goal line, the running back, that was a touchdown, Doug.
Yeah, that was a touchdown. And then Baylor put it on Ole Miss. So there were some good games, not in the semifinals of CFP, but there were some good bowl games.
Before we get to the NFL, what was your favorite memory from this past sports year? What will you remember it for?
Let's see.
I'll go first. Well, because okay. I sprung this on you. Well, I'll let you think. I'll remember it for the fans coming back to the games.
Mm-hmm.
2020 was, those seasons were played in empty stadiums. You know, some of the leagues figured out how to get noise in there, and they used lighting and all of that fake crowd noise. But I remember 2021, first COVID still being around, but the fans came back, stadiums were packed once again.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize how much more important, how big a part of the whole scenery, the pageantry, the tradition, the fans are. You don't miss them until they go away. And it was a much more fun season because of the fans.
And we saw it last night. We saw it in the Monday night national championship game. You know, Georgia fans were going crazy, you know, 41 years without a title. So, you know, and we got the NCAA basketball tournament back after a year without it. So it's just part of the fabric of our society, and we know how big a part it is. It's escape for a lot of people, but it's a means of making a living for us and other people. And it's such a you do recognize it and appreciate it more once it's gone and when it's taken away. I wonder too if we could ever go back. You know, we got this Omicron surge and hospitalizations are up, and you'd hate to see us come this far and then just, you know, take a step back. And
vicious cycle, man. It just feels like we're going right back to where we were. And it's so strange that here we are in 2022 and we're still having those conversations. You ask someone to get masked up and they take it as a personal affront.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People look at you funny if you're in the store with a mask on. And right. And I'm like, you can look at me all you want. I'm masking up because I've had both shots and the booster.
Me too.
So I've been stabbed three times. And if there's a fourth, I'm in that line too. Yeah. And it's not because I'm trying to make some kind of point. I just don't want this thing to kill me. And that's the God's honest truth. I'm doing whatever I can to stay on this side of the dirt.
I know. And not everybody feels this way. It's obviously very polarizing. It's filled heavily over in the sports. Aaron Rodgers wasn't vaccinated. Antonio Brown had a fake vaccination card, you know, so there's just no escaping. There's no escaping it. So
makes you wonder if those are bad guys. I mean, I'm not telling you have to get vaxxed, but don't lie to me. Don't lie to me and don't come up with a fake heart. Just don't get vaxxed.
Well,
don't be a liar.
It's the one thing if it's just about you, but we affect other people. Our decisions affect other people, and that and other businesses that can get shut down. And so it goes beyond a personal statement, I think, when you think of the greater good. And I don't see it as a sacrifice myself, because I'm not wary of the vaccinations, but I don't know. It's still out there. It hadn't gone away. And like you said, I fully expect we're going to get a fourth booster shot and maybe a fifth after that. I haven't gotten my flu shot yet. Have you?
No, but I will.
I need to do that as well. So, but yeah, that hadn't gone away. So as far as other memories, I mean, Tom Brady winning another Super Bowl, you know, now he's 44 and trying to get yet another one.
Hey, is your son John Tyler, he was this huge Brady fan and he was everything Patriots. But now that Brady's with Tampa Bay, is he still Tom Brady's biggest fan, or is he split between the Bucs and the Pats?
He's still very much a Tom Brady guy.
So it was always more Brady than New
England. Yeah, he's going to root for him, you know, thick and thin. So, it's like, you know, I was looking at our picks for the NFL season that just finished, and now, you know, I thought we did pretty well in our playoff picks.
We did great. We both got 6 out of the 8 divisions, yeah. Right. I got what did I get? I predicted Matt Stafford would throw 40 touchdowns. He threw 41.
Yes, you did.
I think he might get the MVP. I predicted Michael Parsons for defensive MVP.
All right.
A rookie for the NFC and Kyle Pitts. I got Kyle Pitts for AFC.
Yeah, so, I love Kyle Pitts.
I got Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts for defensive and Kyle Pitts for offensive and Michael Parsons for defensive. I think I got both of those right.
Yeah.
I missed on the Cowboys though. 8-9, Duck. I had them at 8-9.
I think I had the Texans going 4-13, which is what they did.
Oh, we both did. We both had them at 4. Yeah. We both got that one right.
We know futility when we see it. So
before we get out of here. And it's been great. This has been just absolutely great. Are you as worried about the Dallas Cowboys as I am?
Yeah.
You're going to be there on Sunday. The 49ers are no joke, Duck.
They aren't.
They are not a joke. They are a physical bunch. And that kind of play travels in the playoffs. Dallas doesn't come across to me as the most physical attack. They don't. And I'm worried that the 49ers might come in here and do the Dallas what Denver did to them earlier this season and just run over them. I mean, I think it could happen.
Like you said, they're physical. They can run the ball, got a great defensive front. They can put pressure on Dak Prescott, you know. And even though, you know, I guess they've won 3 out of 4, something like that, looked good against the Eagles, which were playing without Jalen Hurts, obviously, in the finale. But I just don't know where their confidence is either. And
anyone can beat up on the Redskins. Pardon that. Pardon my faux pas. Anyone can beat up on the Washington football team. I'm sorry. They recall the you-know-whats for many years. And sometimes I slip up like I do call the Chargers San Diego. Old habits die hard. But I, no offense intended. But anyone can beat up on that ragtag bunch. They were not very good this year.
Well, you Dallas look at it, 6-0 against the division.
Yeah, and 7-5 against everybody else.
6-5
against everybody else.
Yeah,
that doesn't move the needle, Duck.
Not dominant. That's not dominant. So,
do you think they'll survive this one?
I think it's going to come down in the fourth quarter. Whoever makes a big play, I think it's totally up for grabs. You know, I don't think either team's going to. I'm not a big believer in Jimmy G, even though he looked good. On Sunday against the Rams. But, you know, they've got some confidence now. And when you have a defense and you run the ball, you're not predicated on Garoppolo throwing for 300 yards and 50 passes. So, yeah, I think it's up for grabs.
And we know Jimmy G is battling a thumb injury or what have you, similar to Casey Thompson. But do you think he's good enough to really give Dallas –
Not by himself, but with the running game and, you know, if they get Trent Williams back and, you know, Joey Bosa in that front, you know, they can cause some pain, you know. Like I said, Dak's been kind of up and down, you know, lately. And, you know, but, you know, they still have weapons. And how about Cedric Wilson coming on? And
Cedric Wilson is bringing it, man. He is bringing it.
He and Schultz, the tight end, I mean, they got a lot of weapons. So I think I'd probably pick the Cowboys because it's one of those things like the NCAA basketball tournament. Oh, the 12 versus 5, you know, this 5 is going to get upset. And they hear it all week. And so, you know, San Francisco's not going to come sleepwalking in here or Dallas sleepwalking. Looking, oh my God, I didn't know they were any good. So something tells me that Cowboys are going to do enough to get by, but it's going to be a scary, scary game.
Real quick, I know we don't do the picks anymore, but I'm going to run down these record. Raiders at Bengals, what's your thought?
I got the Bengals. I like Joe Burrow. I think he's very unflappable, and he and Joe Mixon can team up. You know, Raiders kind of dealing with house money. You got
Vegas? They are, but they're not as talented. Jamar Chase, the Raiders can't guard downfield. No. Patriots at Bills. That's they split during the regular season. Each team winning on the other team's home field. This one's in Buffalo, and I don't know if it's going to be snowing, but it's Saturday night.
Supposed to be bad weather, I think.
I'm going to go Buffalo in that one. What do you think?
I like Buffalo. I think, you know, New England's had their good run. Belichick's done a masterful job with a rookie quarterback and no great star power on offense. So I think Buffalo's they're still on the rise. I like the Bills.
We both think the Buccaneers are going to take out Philadelphia in quick order, right?
Sure.
So there's really no discussion there. Last one, Steelers at Chiefs. Next to last. That's an interesting one. I don't think Big Ben has enough juice to bother the Kansas City Chiefs, but I love Najee Harris, the running back.
Maybe they'd have some magic third Heinz Field, maybe, but the Chiefs kind of found themselves. They're still not running on all.
They're not high octane right now, but
yeah,
plenty good enough to take out the Steelers. Last one. This is the best game of the weekend, I think. Cardinals at Rams.
I like the Rams. I like a good team coming off a loss. And even though Arizona came off a loss too, they've lost their swagger. You know, yeah, they matched up well with Dallas. Kyler Murray runs Texas Stadium AT&T Cowboys Stadium.
He runs it.
Yeah, that's his personal playground. But I think coming off a loss, Stafford will play better. And could have given it all away, I think, if Arizona had won against Seattle. So I think the Rams will take care of business.
I do too, and we'll save our soup. Well, if you want, we could. Yeah, this is going to be in the paper tomorrow. So we'll save our Super Bowl picks. Read them in the Statesman. I'll go ahead and tell you, I picked Kansas City at the beginning of the year. I'm not switching on that. I picked them to beat the I don't even remember. Oh, I picked him to beat Tampa Bay. So I'm sticking with that because that feels like that could happen. Even though I think the Los Angeles Rams are plenty talented enough to take out Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I kind of like the Packers. I think Aaron Rodgers is feeling it. You know, this whole year is kind of built for him since
his final year with the Packers, huh?
Yeah, that's right. He'll be the Cowboys, Dallas Cowboys. Go ahead and start that rumor. Where do you think he'll be?
Pittsburgh Steelers are going to get either Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson.
Is their offensive line talented enough that they want to play there?
They'll draft there, but they're plenty talented enough on both ends. They'll load up in the draft for linemen. There'll be some good ones on the free agent market. The Steelers will be better up front next year, and Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson are both pretty good scramblers. Bevy of weapons in Pittsburgh, a good young running back in Najee Harris, good receivers in Deontay Johnson, Juju Smith will be back. Claypool's up and down, good young tight end in Freiermuth, and that defense has a playmaker. TJ Watts is good as anybody. Craig Hayward's son, Cameron, is great, and you got Minka on the back end. There's a lot to like. I mean, the Steelers are built for championships, but they need to plug up that offensive line, the worst offensive line they've had in a decade, easily.
I just wonder if they could win it all if Aaron Rodgers will think, man, I got a good thing going here. You know, now
the chemistry seems great over there, too.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he's got a real beef with Matt LaFleur.
I think he hates the front office, though.
Yeah, I do too. And it's like maybe, you know, I mean, Jordan Love, has he done anything to make you think, oh, yeah, he's the answer?
He took a knee last week. Look at him doing it too.
Yeah.
So real good doing it.
Tom Rodgers, maybe he kind of comes to his senses and realizes, hey, it ain't so bad to be in a place like Green Bay that worships you. And
he could retire. And I would hope he'd retire there.
Yeah.
But I think the Russell Wilson marriage with Pete Carroll is over.
Yeah. Yeah.
And while we're at it, before we get out of here, shout out Quandre Diggs. Gruesome injury, Duck. Gruesome injury in the season finale. I talked to him on Monday night. I texted with him. He said he was getting surgery on Tuesday. And his head is up. He's in good spirits. And he says he's going to be back better than ever.
Good. Well, let's hope so. He's a favorite of ours. And hope he's better than ever when he comes back.
Yep.
So.
And condolences go out to the Shipley family. Yes. They lost the matriarch. We love Coach Shipley. We love Jordan, friend of the podcast, Jackson. Just a great football family. And we all, you know, you never want to see anything like that happen. But it, you know, that's tough. But prayers go out to them as well.
Yeah, and it's been great being back with you guys again. It's great. I appreciate y'all listening to our humble little podcast here. And wish
we are back, Duck. We're back. We're going to be better than ever next week. We're going to probably have a good guest. We're hoping to land a former Dallas Cowboy. That's called a radio tease. Going to talk some playoffs with us. We're hoping to get Brian Davis in because UT basketball is up and running in conference play. Maybe get Daniel to talk those women. The basketball teams have had their ups and downs, and we're getting to that part of the year where basketball is going to be taking some center stage. So we'll get those guys into the dungeon to have their take on things. But all minds clear, that's going to do it for 245. So glad to be back. We're going to be back more than ever for the Duck, Kirk Bowles. I'm Seth Golden. We'll see you next time.
Y'all be safe.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.